And welcome as we worship the Lord this morning. Once again, we're apart because of this pandemic, but we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we will be having an announcement within the first, maybe at the end of this week or first of next week, about how we are going to reopen our church worship. Let us begin this morning's worship by having a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as we come into this, your house, and the people that are at home worshiping. We ask you, Lord, to protect them, to guide them. And all of us, your children, we ask you, Lord, to protect all of us. And Lord, as we ask you, Lord, to, as we pray for all the people that are sick, all the shut-ins, the people in the nursing homes, hospitals. There's so many people that are sick. And Father, we ask your total blessings upon each and every one. And guide us in our endeavors to get ever closer to you. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Once again, we're blessed to have special music. Our praise group will be here. So have at it.
Wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. And they camped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephesdamim. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Verses 17 through 51. Then Jesse said to David, his son, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this roast grain and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000, and look into the welfare of your brothers, and bring back news of them. For Saul and they and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines." Verse 20. So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with the keeper, and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel, and it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in accord with this word, saying, "Thus it will be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men that Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness. I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. But David said, what have I done now? Was it not just a question? Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for them. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with his Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, and for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David in his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, and that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled.
Thank you, Jacob. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you for that wonderful opening song. Our praise band singers and Jacob, you know, we ought to make a tape of that, our praise band singers and Jacob, and that would be pretty good. Saturday, May the 9th, next Saturday, at the Church Fellowship Hall, our youth and their advisors will be having a yard sale, bake sale, and if you get in the way, they might sell you. But I'm sure they look forward to this. They've taken up stuff for quite a while, and because of this pandemic, it hadn't been able to be put on, but we look forward to that this coming Saturday. What time?
7 to 1.
From 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock. So please come and support our youth. They will greatly appreciate it. And we thank Jacob for giving us our scripture as it came to us from 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning 1 through 4, and then jumping over to 20 through, or 17 through 51. The title of the sermon is, We Must Trust in God. We must. I mean, how else are we going to get through our daily problems? How else are we going to get through this pandemic? We have to trust in God. Faith is at the heart of all of Christian life. We need it to believe that God exists. Some people ask me, how do you know there is a God? I just do. I can look around this world that He created. I can look how each of us are different. And I can marvel at how God created each one of us. As different as we are, there's so many similarities. We have faith that God forgives us of our sins and that we have a secure home in heaven. We see that in our scripture throughout the Bible. It talks to us about if you give your life to Christ, if you accept Jesus, you have a home in heaven. Yet many believers struggle with fully trusting the Lord. Even the disciples who had the privilege of walking with Jesus in the flesh for 3 years occasionally doubted Him. What happened to Peter, when he got out of the boat, walking on the water towards Jesus, what happens when he looks down? He starts sinking. Jesus rescues him. Sometimes we look away from Jesus too, and we lose our way. We do have the same problem of not trusting Jesus. Our faith begins to wane when our prayers seem to go unanswered or adversity strikes. I had somebody ask me yesterday, I happened to be out at one of the local stores, and a lady asked me, somebody pointed you out as a preacher. I want to know, how can a God who loves everybody send a pandemic like we've got, and all these people are dying, suffering, I said, when you get through, I'll answer. But she kept on and on and on about how could a loving God send a disease like this? I said, he didn't do it. The devil did it. But I told her the same thing. We must trust in God to get through anything that we're going through. She said, preacher, I've gone through a divorce twice. I've gone through losing a child. I've gone through losing two jobs that were not my fault. And now this pandemic, and it's got to shut all in. I said, ma'am, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all of your soul, and you can get through anything. Then I said, my sermon tomorrow is on a man, and I'm sure you've heard of him, David, a young boy between the age of 14 and 16, and he goes up against Goliath when all the other soldiers in the Israeli army, they were scared. And young David goes up against this Goliath, who was 6 cubits and a span, which is 9 feet 2 inches. And she said, well, that's just stuff that makes the Bible interesting. I said, is that what you believe? You don't think God helped David kill that giant? Then she said, I don't know. He might, could have. I said, he did. And cut off his head and took it home. The thrilling thing about being in the Christian life is that our Heavenly Father hears us when we pray. Trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. Kind of hard to do it, but we must trust God that much, that we can look beyond ourselves, beyond our situation, beyond anything that we're going through. And if we trust God, He will help us through it. How do you think that David demonstrated his trust in God? The story of David and Goliath illustrates the importance of trusting the Lord completely, especially when we face overwhelming challenges. The Israelite army was at war with the Philistines, and for 40 days, a fierce warrior named Goliath had challenged the entire Israelite army and the king. Send your bravest warrior. I challenge you to send your best soldier. And since no one responded to the challenge, to fight Goliath, the Philistines kept ridiculing the Israelite army. The entire army, including the king, was terrified just looking at this giant who was not only an experienced fighter, but more than 9 feet tall, and he was dressed in all of his armors and shields and spears, and I'm sure he was intimidating to everybody but David. David focused on the spiritual nature of the battle. He asked in verse 26 that was read this morning, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" Later he told Goliath, "This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's." Verses 46 and 47 that Jacob read. After declaring his victory, David killed the giant with one stone from his slingshot. With their champion defeated, did you notice from the scripture what happened? They ran. The rest of the Philistine army ran. The shepherd boy with no armor, no shield, no sword, no javelin, armed with only 5 smooth stones, was able to triumph over a much larger, more well-equipped, more experienced fighter. But what did David have that the Philistines didn't have? David had a faith and a trust in the one true living God. So what was the key to David's victory? David had many characteristics that made him a good fighter. Since he was young, he must have been very quick. He had killed a lion. He had killed a bear. So he was very strong. He was accurate with a slingshot. We know he was a capable warrior since he had protected his flock from wild animals for years. And he was certainly courageous when the rest of the Israelite army was not. The future king realized that the Philistine wasn't just challenging the Israelite army. He was mocking God. Although David saw the same imposing giant as everyone else saw, he realized Goliath was going to be defeated. David saw the final picture, the giant's death, before he ever picked up one stone. He knew the Lord would give him the victory. What told him? Faith and trust Now, how can you know if you are fully trusting in God? The three levels of faith. One says, I know that the Lord can do this. I know that He can do this. The second states, I know that He will do it, at least for some people, but I'm not sure about me since He don't answer all my prayers. And the highest level of faith declares, it's as good as done. I put my trust in the Lord. And if you have misunderstood His will, He will gently correct you. How can you know if you are operating on the highest level of faith? You don't worry anymore. You don't fret. Worry reveals that you are not fully trusting God. I get asked a lot, why don't you worry about things? You just don't seem to worry. I said, I worry about things I can change. Things I can't change, that's God's job. I don't try to play God. When you rely on God completely, you will stop pleading with the Lord and begin to thank Him for answering your prayers. If you are a believer, God has assumed responsibility for your life. You can trust Him to meet your needs and take care of you in every situation, every circumstance. What are a couple of the requirements for life-changing faith? First, you must clean your heart. An inability to trust God fully is evidence that there is an impurity in your life that you just can't get rid of. Even a small amount of sin, such as bitterness, unforgiveness, or pride, will hinder your fellowship with God. Focus on the Lord. King Saul and the Israelite army failed to look at the situation with the eyes and the heart of faith. Their attention was focused on Goliath's size, his experience, his intimidating presence, his superior weapons. David set his mind on the power of God to deliver the Philistine warrior into the hands of David. Often when we approach the Lord in prayer, our concentration isn't on Him, it's on our needs or our wants instead of our concentration being on our Lord. We dwell on our emotions, the opinions of others. And these are enemies to effective faith in God. We need to walk in the light of a finished product. In other words, live as if it's only a matter of time before your prayer is answered. Expect it to happen. If not, pray again and again. Be persistent. If it's important enough for you to ask several times, it will be important enough to God to answer it. one of the most exciting revelations in God's Word is that the Father wants to be intimately involved in our lives. You might think you aren't important enough for Him to intervene on your behalf. You've got this problem, you've got that problem. God already knows about it, but if you go to Him on bended knee, as I've said the last few weeks, God still answers knee mail. You might think God's just not going to intervene on your behalf. But the Lord doesn't play favorites. He will work powerfully in any believer's life. Have you grown accustomed to a life filled with doubt, filled with unbelief? My prayer is that you will learn to trust God Almighty completely. The secret to victorious faith is to dwell on the Father's ability to handle your problems. Confess your sins before God daily. Focus on God and completely surrender to His will. Then live as if your request has been granted, and you will never be the same again. God wants to help you. But unless you ask for help, unless you plead for it, it will be hard for Him to just grant it. It's just not going to happen. God is a faithful God to us, but we must be a faithful God to Him, a faithful server and servant of Him. We are all humbled by the things we see, the vast things we can look around us and see, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt there is a God who made this world. Sue knows one of my favorite channels on television is the nature channels. I love those. And there's this animal that is, he's the king of the roost until he comes up against a much stronger opponent. And then that one is the king until another one comes along. There's different animals that have different strengths. We can appreciate all of that because of this story of David and Goliath. God put us all here to enjoy nature and enjoy each other. We don't have to be the same. It's okay to be a little bit different. We just must have the trust in our hearts and souls in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that we were able to come and worship You And we thank you for those in the audiences at home. And we ask your blessings upon those. We pray, Lord, that soon and very soon that we will all be able to be back together. We look forward to that day, Lord, and my trust is in you that you have it all in control. And Father, we thank you for King David. The trust he had in you. The faith he had that you could get anything done. May we get the same in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings upon us. Forgive us of our sins. Guide us, lead us, protect us. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. In Christ's name, amen.